हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
der blieb Münchner.
Weil er einen Titel, den sie nahm als Biese, sondern für die
Last Seen Heading Towards the Mothership.
Hare Krishna or the Jai Shri Krishna? Sahana Bhavatu. Maybe it was the O.
We talked about the guest and the host.
Okay, yeah. The guest and host.
We should have qualified brahmanas. You said that say when you have your guest, you mentioned that the qualification should be brahmana is the best.
No, a guest is defined as a Brahmin who comes on his own without invitation. You understand? So the point is, but it doesn't mean that you can't invite a guest also. But the point is guest, when it's being defined as guest, then of course it means all variety. But what we're doing is starting from the most full definition, which means a qualified, brahminical person who, when they come to your house, basically all the normal activities of the house stop to take care of the guest. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean you don't, flush the toilet or, like stuff like that. It means that you don't, sit there and, it's Tuesday night, so, you don't watch, idols or something. Like that. You take care of the guest. Does that make sense? All the different things stop to take care of the guest. Things that have to go on, those go on. The cooking or this and that. But if it's possible, as much focus as you can goes to that person. So for one day, it only has to be like that, that the whole house stops. If they're staying, let's say, for 2 weeks, then that first day like that. And then after that, how much fits in. But if you can extend it for 3 days, that's considered very nice. You know what I'm saying? Then it's back to, you know, if you have work or other things like that. Then they just fit into what's there. But in other words, what time you do have, you consider them and make them nice. It's not that as if they're not there. You know what I'm saying? That's what we call a guest. Does that make sense? So that can be, you know, a qualified Brahmin, you know, a devotee, advanced devotee, or someone like that, where that element of respect is prominent. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, having relatives over, having friends over, and that they're also, you can say, they're guests technically, but they fit more into their part of like the family or anything. They're not in that position of let's say, not like, they're not in the position of worship. They may be in the position of respect, but not of worship. So the guest means a worshipable Brahmin where everything stops. So other than that, relatives, friends, then you take care of them. In other words, what you would afford yourself, you afford to them. Does that make sense? You know, you're cooking simple that night, and, you know, it wasn't expected, so it just stays like that. If you can pull it, is it got something else you can fit, then great. But if not, just what you do, they sit with you and eat, like that. But the guest, you don't sit with the guest, you serve the guest. Does that make sense?
My question, Maharaj, is does the host have to be qualified?
Does the host have to be qualified? Now, that's an interesting question.
Well, I quite often want to invite people to my house. My children say I'm not allowed.
I see. Now, they're speaking from...
experience?
Okay, I didn't say. How are they defining qualified or not qualified?
Well, they say my cooking isn't good. Like if I wanted to invite Sri Radhe or yourself or someone like that, they say, that I can't because my cooking isn't a good enough standard.
Well, that's the point. If you're talking about a meal or something else, then you might, because you're invited. See, if someone just shows up, then it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, then that's it. But then it would be a matter of what you're inviting them for. What's the purpose and everything like that. If it's specifically a meal, then that you would have to, you know, either, how you say, work on it or find someone else who can cater.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. I know, I mean, a lot of houses you go to, they don't cook. They get someone else to cook.
Yeah.
Like that. It may not be very well known, but it happens a lot. You know? And, you know, it's India, so you can't, like, you don't have Chef Boyardee, you know, so to fall back on there, you know, so, you know. I don't know if that means anything, but it's...
That means I can invite good cooks without having to cook.
I mean, at least water, a sitting place, nice words, those things have to be there. But you wouldn't invite them for a meal and not give them something to eat. Okay. Does that make sense? So if you're inviting for there, you might have to make arrangements or something. Yes.
If a spiritual master comes, but more than 3 days, like when they travel.
Yeah, it means they'll come for more. It means that you may take that and like that. But the point is you can't. It can't be expected that the whole life stops for that. If you can arrange it, you know, you can take off from work or this or that, or, you know, then you can do that. But if you can't, the point is after, you know, 3 days, then, you know, if you have to go to work, then you go back to work. You know what I'm saying? It just has to be understood that that's the way it is. Does that make sense? But when you're there at the house, then you take care and do all you can and stuff like that. So it would be, in other words, a guest stays one day. They're unannounced. If it's announced, then there's arrangements. So you can say, as we can do this, for this much we can do this, on the weekends we can do this, but during the weekday you have this, and you're only free from this time to this time. But the point is you make it maximum, it could be free. You don't consider, you know, as much. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. You know, if it's something you can extend it, the more you extend it, then that's, you know, nice. You know what I'm saying? The point is, the rule is one day. If you do 3 days, that's considered pious. If you can keep it going for 3 weeks, wow, hey, great. You get so much benefit. You know, that means that's... So that's, you get 15 times the benefit. You know, so, you wouldn't count it as one staying. Technically, according to the definition of Atita, you get the benefit of 15. You know what I'm saying? Like that. No, you can't say, well, I'm only coming once. No, you're coming 15 times. Yeah, 15 times a year. The point is to try to find that balance of what you can do and according to what is, you know, worthy of offering. You know? In other words, what would be a nice standard and what can you do? But not looking at it just being practical, that's all I want to do. No, it's how much can you do. It's not how much you want to do. You know what I'm saying? So if you can do more, even though you're not inclined, you do more. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to do more, you know, does that make sense? You know, because the idea is like, how much do you fast on Janmashtami? Right? You know what I'm saying? So the standard is, you know, all day until midnight. If you can't do that, then you bring it back, you know, how much you can to the normal positions. So midnight's the normal. The next consideration is after sunset, right? The next consideration is after three paharas of the day, so that'd be like 3 in the afternoon. The next one down is 12. There isn't one below that. You know? So unless you're sick, you know, you got at least a half day fast. You know what I'm saying? So then you would do, then what does that mean you're eating? Are you just drinking water? Are you taking some fruit? You know, like that, or some milk, or do you have to actually have to, you know, cook something? You just have to see. Whatever it is you have the standard, you have all the different aspects that are considered, you know, vows and havisha, which means, you know, yogic offering. And then you choose whatever is the closest to the standard as possible, you know, however many steps back it is. Does that make sense? So like that is... You know what the standard is for taking care of the guest, and you try to get as close as possible. So it's not a matter of you feel like it or not. It's a matter of this is just what's required. Does that make sense?
Can you elaborate on the standards, like except for the meals? What else?
Is there something else other than meals?
No, attention, you know, you have food.
Well, in other words, instead of, you know, all of you, you know, you wouldn't be in watching, you know, the AFL or something like that. You know, you would be, you know, out there, unless they're into it, okay? Then you would make sure they get the center seat, you know, the popcorn sitting in front of them, you know, all that kind of stuff like that, okay? Like that. But otherwise, you wouldn't be doing something else that's just part of your normal routine of relaxation or hobby. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean dishes aren't washed or, you know, clothes aren't washed. It just means what you would do for recreation, then that time would be spent connected to them. You know, or every night, you know, then, you know, you give the class to the kids, you know, so you wouldn't be, well, we do this, they can give the class, or you just hang out with them. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So in other words, what would be the nicest arrangements you can offer that you make? So for each person, that's different. Okay. You know, if it's a Heisei, you know, if it's in Moscow, they get the fold-out couch rather than the fold-out chair. In Russia, they have, you know how in the West you have the sofa and it opens up? In Russia, they have chairs, single chairs that open up that you can sleep on. You know? Instead of opening this way, they open this way. So it's quite thin. You know, so it's like, you know, it's more than the floor. So I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, no, but I always sleep on the couch. No, they sleep on the couch. You sleep on the chair. You understand? That's how it works. You know? Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, I've heard that when an advanced devotee visits, the nicer the service you require from them. So how do you apply that in a temple setting when you're living in a temple and say the advanced devotee is leaving and staying in the temple?
Generally, they'll give a class, no?
Yeah, but what if you wanted to go and inquire from them in person?
Then you have to see is, that means, the point is that that inquiry must be service. So it shouldn't be just to your benefit. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
How do you inquire in such a way that you're serving them as well?
It means that it's something that you want to know and you're going to follow, rather than you're just trying to desperately find something so you can go in there and you have a reason to talk. Service means you're going to follow what they say. So don't ask something that you're not willing to follow what they say. Okay. Anything else on death?
Now you're going to follow it.
Yeah. But do we have to use the best quality popcorn? Is the Kmart all right, or we have to use the same candy? Does it have to be the fresh one, or can we use the microwave?
It seems that in the Vedic culture, people were very quite stable, so they were not going around.
Means like hamsters going around. This way around. Yeah, hamsters are pretty steady. They pretty much go around.
In our, especially in the West, there are many people who don't know really where to stay, where to sleep. You know,
they themselves.
They don't know.
They don't know, meaning they don't have a place to stay.
They don't have a place. Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a place, then generally you wouldn't be inviting people. Or
yes, but it means like even amongst devotees, you know,
okay.
I've seen, you know, in France, quite some devotees, they don't know where to stay for their own situation, you know. They think we can invite devotees to stay because he doesn't know where to stay. Just
means where to stay means within his own house he doesn't know where to stay, or
no.
Means just
no.
Where he's going to spend
no
that
house.
Night.
No house.
He has no house.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So, but how would you invite someone to your house if you don't have one?
No, but it means it is not this way, the other way. If you have a house, you want to serve one devotee who doesn't know where to stay.
Oh, yeah, you could, but then they'll be treated like family.
Like family.
Or if they're junior, like dependents. You know, in other words, they would be like family, either equals or juniors, you know, like that. Unless they're senior, and then that's another thing. But then the point is let's say if your grandfather, grandmother was staying with you, or, you know, an uncle like that, that was respectable, what facility you would make? You know, you just see that they're comfortable, they have some place, and they're eating the same food that you're eating. And just basically that you're seeing that they're not uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? So comfort is defined as not uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? Means what we're talking before is you're going out of your way to create a comfortable situation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? This is you're not going out of your way to create. It's what you have. Then you just see that they're comfortable. Right? And you're not applying some element of selfishness upon it, you know, that, you know. Does that make sense? But the point is they also, you know, there are rules of being a guest also. It means that something like that, they're in someone else's house. So they have to deal with the house as if it is the other person's house, not their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're so close and all that. See, even an intimate friend, it's still the other person's house. So you'd want to if you're a friend, you'd want to deal with it how they would deal with it. So unless they specifically designate some aspect or some facility that you deal with how you like, you know, they don't do that. If they do that, they're not qualified as guests. So therefore, they have to be either corrected so it can work with, or they can't stay. But you're not obligated if means, in other words, the principle that you're supposed to take care of guests, but means that you're supposed to take care of guests.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, yeah. You know, it's like the guy down at the corner. He takes care of cars, right? But if you bring him a lawnmower, he's not obliged. You know, does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it means that both sides are there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Special rules for mother-in-laws?
Special rules for mother-in-laws. rules meaning... so I shouldn't have said that one. No, I was just going to say, whether you use a regular gag or the ones with the rubber balls, they're more comfortable or something, you know, like that. Mother-in-law is also family, but the point is it's your house, right? Because they're visiting your house, so it's your rules. She may be somebody's mother, but it's not her house. She may be senior, but it's not her house. She may be, you know, senior, it's not her life. So it has to be very, very clear is that, you know, the cooperation is there, but they have to consider all these things. Otherwise, then they're not moving. You know, means if you happen to bump into them or something like that, you'll deal nicely. But you're not obliged if they don't. In other words, you're obliged to follow your duties, you know, on an extended basis if they're also reciprocating. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not obliged, technically, to a mother-in-law. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the point is, so the thing is, but being family, then you're supposed to deal with them nicely. Right? You know, because they're supposed to be in a senior possession and then dealt with like mother. But then they have to deal like mother. Like that. But if it's just a matter of, you know, their life is frustration and they're going to take it out on you because they're senior and they can control you, it's not their right. The point is you have to deal with them as a mother because they behave like one. You know, if they don't, then as an acquaintance, if you bump into them, then whether you like them or not, you're supposed to deal nicely. You know, or if there's a one-off, they happen to come over, it's just some family thing, they're going to come for the night, you tolerate them for the night. Like that. There's a program, a dinner, or whatever it is, like that. But as far as extended stay, then you're not obliged. Right? And if there is anything, it's on your terms, not theirs. But your terms have to be in consideration of their needs. But otherwise, how are you a host? But the same point is they don't call the shots. You know what I'm saying? It's just reality. We're talking here. Is that what's else on guests, ghosts.
Our ghosts guests?
Our ghost guests. Not the ones that bother you. They may think they are, but no. But the ones that actually take care of different have responsibilities of taking different part of the house. There is. So that, but if you're serving Krishna, then they're automatically taken care of. But if you're not, then there also. When it says bhutas, it means all living entities. So that means whatever is there that's giving you benefit. So there's subtle living entities that take care of all different parts of the house. So if you're a devotee, then they're taken care of automatically. But if you're not a devotee, then every grihastha has responsibility.
Nice.
Yeah, the Bali. So much dependence. I mean, yeah, that would be in the category of dependence, but it's that they live in the house. That's the thing.
Right. So, we try to get rid of cockroaches.
Well, you don't get rid of cockroaches. You make the environment clean. They don't like a clean place. Cockroaches won't stay in a clean place. You know what I'm saying? That's why they call it like a cockroach hotel, right? Because it's not clean. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of poisoning them in that. It's a matter of cleaning. You clean the place, they won't like it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is what is it that they, if they're a pet, what is it that they're eating that why they shouldn't be there? So that's another thing. But the point is the others come there, so they're taken care of. But they have to stay in their place, not in yours. You know what I'm saying? Not that they set up in the living room and everything like that. Okay. Serving guests is the principal duty of a grihastha. This is the Lord's instruction. A grihastha should act with simplicity in his dealings with people. He should not allow any kind of cheating or duplicity in his heart. Simplicity means it's straightforward. It doesn't mean you're not using intelligence. It doesn't mean it's not sophisticated. Right? It just means that there's no cheating or duplicity. Right? In other words, if there's a person that if you tell them the truth, they're going to make trouble for you by it, you don't tell them the truth. Right? And so it's not that, no, you have to tell the truth, or this is duplicity. It's not duplicity. They're duplicious. Right? You can't be honest with a duplicious person. But it's not that you're cheating. You're just protecting yourself. Cheating means you're using it for your own benefit at the other's expense. Right? Now, that duplicious person will consider that you're doing that, because for them to find out some dirt about you is exactly what they want for either their own, economic purposes or own social purposes. So they'll interpret it that way. But that's not how it works. Was that mm-hmm. the sense? Mm-hmm. It is the principal duty of a grihastha to serve senior persons. So that means anybody who's senior, especially means you have to respect the... And that's the break. I'm always wondering, why is it so crazy? Because it's the break. And they don't go anywhere. They just sit there.
They go everywhere.
Huh?
They go everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everywhere means right here. Yeah. Why is it so much? There's actually only three of them. Huh? Yeah, no. Okay, so serve senior persons, because the point is what benefit we get is from senior persons, their knowledge, their experience, their protection, like that. Mm. So that is always a very, very important element. Yes.
So if it is a junior person, we would say give shelter.
Yeah, if it's a junior person, you're giving shelter. If it's an equal, you're giving his friend, extending friendship. So now, okay.
No.
I'm just saying the obvious question is, are mothers-in-law senior persons? Yes. Yeah, that's why it's supposed to be nice and all this and that. But the way he asked the question, you could understand it didn't seem to be so great. Otherwise, he would have already figured it out. Yeah, because that means all the different... When Manu gives how you deal with all the relationships, then it's always you're considering the other person, right? It's not a detriment to yourself, but it's you're always considering the other person. Then that makes relationships work very well, you know?
Mars, where does that fit in, like, with... a relationship, you know, if somebody's going to go through the Grihastha Ashram, then you know, you have the charts and then duties and questions. Where does, like, you know, weighing up the, like, mother-in-law and...
Oh, that's like called that. Before marriage. Probably even before engagement, probably even before you decide that you're going to move forward with this. Point is it's a package.
Yeah.
It all goes together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just, yes.
In our country, they say that first you go and see the mother.
Yes.
And then the grandmother is possible.
Yes.
And then you can see the whole picture.
Because that's where the control is. I mean, whatever the grandmother and mother is, that's what the rest, how the rest works. Because they're the ones that pull all the strings. Yeah. He's controlled by the mother-in-law. That, I mean, otherwise, anybody talks about the father-in-law. Very rare. It's always about the mother-in-law. You know, I mean, okay, if the guy was a general in the army or something, then you hear about it. Like that, you know. But other than that, you know, you only hear about the mother-in-law. Why? Because she's the strong one. Yeah? That makes sense? Because the point is that's how they're going to, that's the natural mode of living. How they deal, how they talk, how their house is set up. That's the general standard, unless the individual has made some specific choices on their own, you know, that will adjust that. But otherwise, that's the natural setting, because that's what they grew up in, so that's what they'll be conditioned to. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So if you go in the you know, the mother-in-law's house, and the place is just, like, you know, perfect, looks like a museum, that's what you're in for. You know, you like it to look more, how you say, more, yeah, more natural, you know, like that.
Nouveau chic.
Huh?
Chic, nouveau chic.
Nouveau chic.
Yeah, like lived in.
Nouveau chic. Is that chic somehow? No, that had another idea of chic. Chic meant kind of more like suave, or, yeah, you know, refined. But with some panache, you know, but toned down, so it's not too obvious. You know, it's not in your face. You know, suaveness, you know, panacheness.
Yeah. But then there's gutter chic.
In other words, it's all chic, right? You know, there's all these other boring and weird bits, and then there's chic.
Like they spit clean the glass for you, you know, it's like very suave, you know.
Yeah, no, we have a whole other culture here.
It's
In other words, that's how it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? The boundaries of, like, how much money you have, different things like that, basic facilities, but how the facilities are kept, how they're used, that's generally established by the other person. Does that make sense? So it means, in other words, why work for 30 years trying to change them? Find someone who you don't have to change. You know, in other words, you find somebody you're willing to change for rather than somebody you want to change. I think that's the, you know, why spend your life like that? You already have relatives and friends that are like that. So why would you choose that person to be close with? Does that make sense? Gutter cheek. Okay. This one's just like those. No, because then that's shiny. You got that one. There's one kind of bird. It's a kind of blue color.
A magpie.
They got like
these shiny things.
Yeah, but this one kind, it's you see it in the savannah. Is they pick up, you know, anything shiny. And then they make this whole scene with it. And then how good the scene is, then the ladybird will, she'll come by and look at it, and if she likes it, she'll come in and check it out. If she doesn't like it, she just keeps on walking, goes, checks out the next one. Like that, you know. So the guys are all there, and they're really going nuts when they're there watching, and just jumping up and down. They're completely crazy like that. And then when they go, it's like that. Buy some more shiny stuff, you know, set it up. Yeah, they're completely bonkers. So I'm not sure if that's what you mean by, like, gutter sheep, you know, just whatever it is, picked it up. And saw an old hubcap in the pool, you know, sticking out there, you know, hanging on the wall, you know, like that. Okay. A householder is duty-bound to work for the benefit of everyone. So in other words, within the family and within relatives, friends, there's like 50 different relations that are there. So they're supposed to work for the benefit of everyone else. The point is, but they're all grihasthas, they're also working for everyone else's benefit. So in that way it works very nice, right? The proper thing is that if you're working for the other person's benefit, they're working for yours, it works really nicely. You know, that's the idea. But here it says duty bound. It's not just you feel like it or not. A householder should cautiously give up the association of non-devotees, women, and uxorious people. Okay, so non-devotees, then we went through before, so anything not connected to Krishna. When we said here women, then that means by having that uxorious, view towards them, that you're thinking that there's something I can gain, that I will materially benefit from this association. So that's to be given up. Right? And then uxorious people who think like that. Right? Does that make sense? So, it says here non-devotees, so then when it says here women and uxorious people, then generally that would mean within the devotional you could take. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
On the previous, the householder duty bound.
Duty bound?
Yeah, no.
How bound are we? The duty here.
To work for the benefit of everyone. Like if we take help, financial help from the parents, do we benefit them?
Financial means if they're not devotees. I mean, if you use it for, I mean, even if they are devotees, if you use it in Krishna consciousness, yes. If you don't, no.
No, but if they're willing to.
Yes, but you just also have to see is that what kind of, you know, strings, ropes, chains, or, you know, other kind of things are connected with it. Mm-hmm. And then balance it all. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah.
The same principles you use to deal with guests that come to the temple, you use the same kind of...
It means there. It's also... means how, in other words, everybody's afforded a basic facility, and then according to the individual, then that might be extended more or not. You know, so if they're someone who has more, you know, or you could say a standard amount of, you know, Krishna's opulences, then according to that you would deal. So if they're more famous, more wealthy, more powerful, more knowledgeable, more renounced, more like this, that would be afforded that they may get extra attention rather than just the general. Does that make sense? Like that. But otherwise, everybody, you know, is there, gets prasad, or gets this, so that, whatever it is your standard, that you're giving to everybody. So everybody should be taken care of, whoever visits. But then who has qualities, you know, that would be respected for, you know, being more than, then that would be taken care of. You know, it's just like there you have what do you call it? The Hindujas, they show up. So you would deal with them differently than you would, you know, with Bhakta Jose, you know, like that. Does that make sense?
Duties towards parents from the side of, you know, son or daughter, and especially if it's conflicting in the, you know, interest in the marriage, you know, for example, parents want one thing, wife wants another thing, or vice versa, you know.
Parents wants one thing, wife wants another.
Yeah, like,
and I take it you're on the wife's side or you're on the parent's side?
Well, you have to figure it out.
No, it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Does that solve your problem?
Theoretically.
The point is who do you have to live with, the wife or the parents? Or you live with both? Okay. You know, he's saying, so the point is this, the wife, your duty is to make the, you know, to satisfy the wife, but at the same time you have to use your intelligence how the parents will be happy. You know, just like Arjuna. There he had to satisfy Bhima and Krishna, you know, in the concerns of Ashwatthama, but he also had to satisfy Draupadi and Yudhishthira. Right? So he can't, you know, it's not one or the other. He has to understand what's the principle of the rules and then go back and find at what point then that will connect to both details. You know what I'm saying? In other words, that means Bhima wants him killed. Right? And so, but the point is you're not supposed to kill a Brahmin. So, but there are definitions that are equal to killing. Do you understand? So therefore, insulting or removal of wealth, that's equal. So then he found that will save, you know, take care of what Draupadi wants, at the same time gives the Bhima's wants. Does that make sense? So like that, then you have to find them. But the point is your focal point is you have to see that the wife is going to be satisfied with it. And then work back how to figure out for the parents. Does that make sense? Because that relation, it's a higher rasa. You know what I'm saying? They're seniors, so you have to respect seniors. But at the same time, is that element of seniors already there in the conjugal rasa? Because, you know, if you're sick and the wife takes care of you, then what's the relationship? She's like the parent and you're like the dependent. You understand? That's already there. Does that make sense? Well, the parent, that's where it ends. And they're not technically taking care of you now. They did, so you're obliged. But they're not right now, but the wife is. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So one has to consider all the different things. You know, no one said it's easy. Yeah. When we say no one, we mean since time immemorial, no one ever said it's easy. You know, Yudhishthira's not saying, yeah, it's a breeze, no problem. No, he's not. Do we deal with the duty bound?
No, duty
bound. Oh, okay. By following his prescribed duties, a grihastha Vaishnava should accumulate wealth for his maintenance. He should not accumulate wealth by sinful means. So according to his, you know, what is his prescribed duties? Like that. Then like that. So he shouldn't go outside of that to try to get more. Because sinful can mean outside of his nature. or it can mean, you know, improper activity within his nature. He is a real householder who chants 100,000 names every day.
There you go.
Pure devotees should accept prasad in the houses of such grihasthas. So that solves your guest problem. Says, hey, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakura, I'm not qualified. I don't chant 64 rounds, so hey. Amazing, no question. Notice that there's some little thing on this and that. Yeah. So, one who chants 100,000 names, and everyone just.
That's
sorry.
That the guest should also chant 64 rounds before coming as a guest?
No, not necessarily. If they're grihasthas, yes. But if they're not grihasthas, then not necessarily. See, it also depends if they're mainly connected to the house or if they're also involved in a lot of preaching or temple services like that. So the point is that 16 is the minimum if you're you know, always busy preaching and temple programs, that kind of a thing like that. But if you're not, then it's just the family and occupation, then 64 rounds is the standard. That's what everybody followed before. But at least do 16.
Mars, it doesn't leave much time for TV.
No, it doesn't. Really, amazing. Sad, no?
You can chant and watch TV.
Okay, there's working out there. It means it kind of leaves you only the weekend, right? Yeah, well, that's the idea. Doesn't leave a whole lot for anything else. Okay, there's no difference between Smartas and Vaishnavas regarding following the codes of religion. Now, that is a very good one. There is no difference between Smartas and Vaishnavas regarding following the codes of religion. Did I read it again? There is no difference between Smartas and Vaishnavas regarding following the codes of religion. In other words, what does a Smarta mean? He doesn't see it in connection with the Lord. Like that. So this idea is, oh, that's for Smartas. No, the point is following it without connecting to Krishna, that's for Smartas. Following it connected for Krishna, that's for Vaishnavas. And not following it and not being Krishna conscious, that's for the ones we went across before. What was the Ankyajas. Yeah, that's like that. Yeah, and Ronald McDonald, yes. But the Ankyajas and that was in this one? Yeah, here, Ankyajas. The Shankara also has a tendency, but most of the time I've seen is they're quite good also. It's the Ankyajas who don't really worry about it. If one is a Vaishnav, then he can understand the conviction in the heart of another Vaishnav who is engaged in the same activities as those of the Smartas. One who cannot understand this cannot respect Vaishnavs, and he thereby goes to hell. Right? In other words, he's performing the activity, and it's just the same kind of activity. Right? In other words, he does wash his feet after going in the bathroom. Right? So the point is that then if one can understand that conviction in the heart, then that's proper. If you can't, then you're not going to do so good. So you won't be able to actually understand or appreciate the devotees following the rules or not following according to the situation. Right? You know, it's like you're traveling in the car, you know, driving on the highway, you pull into the gas station, you go to the bathroom, you don't, you know, take off your shoes and socks and, you know, wash your feet, you just don't. You know, like that. You wash your hands, but you don't wash your, you know, you don't. Does that make sense? Yeah, but when you get back home, then you would consider washing. That's
burning the clothes.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. Not at the gas station.
No, not at the gas station. No, he said at home. He said at home. Like that.
Yeah. An important point.
But Maharaj, based on the statement that doubt would arise that one should only invite guests whose in our mood, one can understand. Because if one invites guests from advance, one cannot understand they're in their mood.
But it's like this. By the point here is you're going to hell anyway, so you might as well try to get some benefit rather than be, you know, too clever about it. You know, unless you're, you know, how you send it, unless you're going in a bucket, you know, like that. That works. You had something.
Like to stick around and just kind of person can wake up, let's say he has a choice, he chants through, or he can visit Mangalarati, go to Guru Puja, to Bhagavad class, which would be the, you know, or he chants maybe 64 hours.
The point is means chanting is your main spiritual duty, but what actually makes those duties work?
Association.
Sadhu sangha. So if it comes between going to the temple program or chanting 64 rounds, then go to the temple program. Because the point is that we meant is that 64 rounds is when one doesn't have that kind of facility. But if you have that facility, it takes up the time, so it leaves only enough to chant 16 rounds. You've been engaged in Harikatha. Right? There's no difference between chanting rounds, being in a kirtan, hearing a class, being a guru puja, serving Vaishnavas. It's all, you know, serving the deities, doing service for the temple. It's all chanting the holy name. You know what I'm saying? So the 64 rounds means more than just on your beads. You know what I'm saying? If there's not other facility, then on your beads. If not, then all these others, and that all adds up, that's 64 rounds. Does that make sense? But on your beads, minimum is 16. But that means then you should be doing 48 rounds worth of devotional service and interaction, service to Vaishnavas, you know, Harikatha, that kind of thing. Does that make sense? So then it's equal. Does that make sense? That's the idea. So here the 64 doesn't mean just on beads. That's the general understanding. But if that facility is there for these other activities, that would be the problem. Okay. But that won't then cut the 16 rounds. You know what I'm saying? If one hasn't, one is new at it, then that means they're just associating with that. But that's called sadhu sangha. But then as time goes, then they'll come to the stage of Bhajana Kriya. Then they'll chant 16 rounds along with the sadhu sangha and other activities. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. Then if there's more time, you have extra time, then why not chant? Chant or read or, you know, discuss about Krishna. In other words, the idea is that you should be chanting 24 hours a day. Right? So then the minimum is 64. Right? And that can be on your beads or in a class or reading or doing service to the devotees or like that. Does that make sense? A Grihastha Vaishnava should feel satisfied with whatever food and clothing he gets without difficulty. So, by performing your own prescribed duty, what facilities you get, be satisfied with that. Does that make sense? No, that's the point. Means, you know, in other words, don't be dissatisfied and then try to get through acting outside of prescribed duties. Because then it's with difficulty. Then it becomes... How do you say it? What was the word? Prayasa means that over endeavor, right? So performance of that, what fits within there, that's how it works.
Discourages credit cards. Discourages credit cards.
Discourages credit cards. Yes, but don't say that too loud.
Back to Morton, he can edit it out afterwards.
Oh, okay. It is the duty of a grihastha to work for the benefit of others, even by giving up his own self-interest. Right? But that doesn't mean that his dependents will suffer or things like this. You know, like that. A grihastha Vaishnava should respect and worship Tulsi. Yeah, because the idea of performing the duties of a grihastha is that it brings one to the mode of goodness. Right? So one becomes purified, so one is able to appreciate the service to Krishna. Right? And so then by all these different elements then are, you know, for performing that. So chanting means then you're performing the activity that is can be appreciated because of situating oneself more on the platform of goodness. Right? So worship of Tulsi, then one is that direct service, but at the same time is means by worshiping Tulsi, one is freed from so much sin. Right? It means there is no prayaschitta for killing a Brahmin. There isn't one. Right? But by circumambulating Tulsi, it will get rid of that. Right? Right? Also, chanting will get the same thing. But I'm just saying the point is therefore, you know. And Krishna is therefore pleased. Okay, here, and respect and worship. You know, so it's not that we just do the worship and then the rest of the time we're not respect. It means you respect Tulsi for her position. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-27-8, Lord Krishna describes how a householder should act until his natural propensity for enjoying sense object is overcome and he fully attains the characteristics of a pure devotee. Having awakened in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee remains happy and worships me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Right, so what he's saying is, you know, what does a devotee do when he still has a propensity for sense enjoyment? So this is the position. He knows that it's not useful. Right? But still, there's an attachment there. It's not that, it's fine, it's great. No, it's never fine. In other words, being in the material world is never fine. Right? But one's in a position, and so one acts from that position. But one knows it's not fine. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? But it says he remains happy, so he's not sitting around going, oh, I'm so disgusting, I'm so useless, like that. No, he just engages himself. And as much as he can, then he gets it to work properly. Yeah. And he repents means that he understands that this is not proper. He feels that, you know, if he could be situated more nicely, that would be better. A grihastha Vaishnava must gradually acquire all the qualities mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:78-80. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions, and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions, and fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. So in other words, the 26 qualities of the devotee. So one knows these qualities, and then one works to apply them within his devotional service. Right? In other words, you're not taking the quality on its own and then trying to cultivate it. You're trying to cultivate it in connection with the situations you're in of your service. Because all these come up. Right? But like we said, the Sarup Lakshana then is his surrender to Krishna. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, right? So now that's the main thing. If that's there, then the other ones will slowly, slowly all come. Right? So in other words, the idea that we're grihasthas, and so, you know, we're just living life and just, you know, don't give it, you know, leave us alone and don't, you know, none of this, all this fanatic rah-rah stuff. No, the point is the grihastha himself is supposed to understand the position he's in. It's not the ideal position. But he's in that position. He's working from that position. Right? And he knows what the standard is. You know, so here this is the standard. So he's working to move towards that. Right? Does that make sense? That's the idea. The Grihastha Vaishnava should be eager to associate with advanced devotees. Out of all the processes of devotional service, one should give earnest attention to the five limbs mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22, 128, 129, as follows. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. And so he should put his focus on these five. He's doing so many other things, but the focus should be on these five. Right? The point is, everybody should focus on these five. So it's not that only the grihastha, no, everybody should be focused on the five. But because the discussion is about a grihastha, he shouldn't think that, oh, we're grihastha, that's for the, you know, temple devotees or the preachers or the, you know, like that. It's not for us, you know. No, they should also focus. It doesn't mean that they're doing that very much. That's why he said here, even a little, even the slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. So therefore, but he doesn't tell that to others. He doesn't say, no, but it's just a slight, so therefore we don't do too much. No. It's always, we have to avoid. Yes.
Sorry, reside at Mathura.
Reside at Mathura. What's the question?
Oh, sorry.
What's the meaning of Mathura? Mathura means where the Lord lives. Wherever the Lord lives. You know, so either at the temple, in the dham, in your house, like that. In other words, your house should be a place where, you know, the Lord's activities go on, whether you have a deity or not, but it has to be that's where these go on. But you take advantage, if there's advantage of, you know, the dham or the temple or, you know, situations where, you know, these other four activities are going on nicely. So in other words, Mathura is where the other four activities go on. There's the Lord, there's the devotees, there's chanting his glories, and, you know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Gradually one should diminish the following of prescribed duties out of obligation and cultivate spontaneous attachment. When spontaneous attachment of the Lord is awakened, many prescriptions are automatically discarded and atonement becomes needless. Okay. How do you cultivate? Cultivate means you practice, because nothing becomes spontaneous without practice. It means spontaneous attachment is still within. Means you have the point of you trying to come to the level of prema, which is also, you could say, spontaneous attachment. But as far as one goes, it's still, one is functioning, the sadhaka still is functioning within sadhaka. It's not a separate. Cultivation means, as we were discussing, is that the activity itself is not what's the devotion. It's that is being done to please the Lord. That's what makes it devotion. So one should be focusing on the element of being able to do that with devotion, as opposed to just doing it because you're supposed to do it. Because before it's saying all these things, you know, one is duty bound, one has to do all these different things. So one may also apply that within the devotional service. One's duty bound, one's doing like that. So that's good as a beginning. But what you should understand is that the performance of the duty itself isn't what is devotional. That is being done to please the Lord. That's what makes it devotional. Does that make sense? So one should cultivate that by, you know, proper understanding. Is that okay?
It's needle with like
pulp.
Needless.
Yeah, many are automatic discard and atonement becomes needless. It means you don't. It's not required because it doesn't have a function anymore. So in other words, he says many prescriptions are automatically discarded, and atonement becomes needless.
What would be atonement?
Atonement means you've done something wrong, so you perform an activity that's supposed to purify you from that. In other words, you've done some material wrong, so you do a material activity to correct that wrongness. Yeah. That's the same. Atonement is prayaschitta. So in other words, prayaschitta, because the point is you've done something wrong materially, means that we're materially absorbed. So the problem is lack of Krishna consciousness. So improve the Krishna consciousness, and then one becomes purified.
How one finds out what is pleasing for Krishna in terms of duty, if there are options which are there and one can choose?
I mean, if they're all bona fide options, then what fits your situation?
If they're, let's say, they're equal in terms of your inclination, environment, etc., how do you find...
Then whichever fits the particular situation you're in.
How you find out...
The point is that you're connecting it to Krishna, that's what's pleasing.
So whatever the choice would be... Because one may try to, I will choose what will please Krishna, what Krishna does.
But he's already made it clear all these are pleasing. So now, according to your situation, you choose one of them. It means, the point is it's not that every situation is exactly identical and will always be exactly identical and perfectly matches everything. There's no such thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's the anniversary. You're in a flower shop. You buy flowers. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're in a place, some jewelry. You buy jewelry. They would both be pleasing. But if you're in the flower shop, say, no, I'm not going to buy any flowers. I'm going to buy jewelry. And then, you know, you get stuck in traffic. And so you were supposed to be home at dinner at 7, but you come home at 9 because you got the jewelry. And it's not going to work. You buy the flowers. Does that make sense? Like that. So you have to see what situation you're in, you know, and then, like, it's not a matter of which will, you know, Krishna, he has to choose. No, he's already showed you what he likes. Now, from that, you choose. Does that make sense? A grihastha Vaishnava should not endeavor for any knowledge or renunciation other than knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord in devotional service, and renunciation born from devotional service. Right? So in other words, things outside of that are useless. Any knowledge that's not going to help you in your devotional service, any renunciation that's not going to help in your devotional service, you don't bother with. You know? So that's the thing, is you give up those things that aren't you know, aren't useful, right? In the beginning, one may be attached to different things. So one is cultivating these different elements. But the point is, he's saying here, is that as he advances, gradually one should diminish the following, right? Out of the following of prescribed rules out of obligation. So knowledge and renunciation are obligations. But the point is we're only interested if it's connected to the Lord. But before that, we may have inclinations other than that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? In other words, someone might like to do chaturmasya just because he likes to be austere. Not that he's thinking how to do this nicely for Krishna and how it would please Krishna. Right? Or he has varieties of knowledge he wants to learn, but it's not connected with service to Krishna. So therefore, in the beginning, he's following those. And they're there, they're bona fide. They're there, the scripture's there. He's a grihastha. He can learn and do those things. But the point is with time, as his attachment is given up, then he would only connect himself with those things that have a benefit, right, in the way of Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? In other words, the level of Grihastha Vaishnav he's talking about here is, you know, he's talking about this is just a general ordinary Grihastha Vaishnav, right? You know. So therefore, that's why on the previous pages that we were looking at the sixth option there.
The Antaja.
Yeah.
Antaja.
Yes. One begins the worship of Krishna with special care and eagerness, then he achieves all auspiciousness. Okay. A grihastha Vaishnava should constantly chant the holy names while carefully giving up the 10 offenses. A grihastha Vaishnava should model his character after that of Lord Chaitanya and his followers. Right? 'Cause it means they're the ones you look at, you know, rather than, they say, Dale Carnegie, who's the bold guy? Well, Schwarzkopf is also bold.
Covey,
yeah, you know, any of these guys, you know, it's Lord Chaitanya and his associates. They're the ones that are inspiring. Also bald. One desires Krishna in all his activities, then those activities are auspicious. Right? If Krishna is not involved, it's not auspicious, no matter how much it would be considered pious. By endeavoring to gratify one's senses and attain irrelevant fruits, one becomes a materialist. Right? Because irrelevant means you get it, you're still not satisfied, therefore it's irrelevant. For a devotee to remain a householder or to become a renunciate is the same thing, because you're going to connect everything to Krishna. Because one would look at it, well, you know what he's saying here, the grihastha is, you know, that's what, you know, we would expect from the sannyasins, but it's the same thing. It's just you have material desire, you are Haribolji? Yes, another 5 minutes, I call you after 5 minutes. Okay. Haribol. That way you know who it is. So that way you know who it is. No. That would have a different one. That would be probably some kind of ragtime or something like that. Was it something from Memphis? Yeah. Yeah. Srila Ramananda Rai, Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sri Srivas Thak Pandit, Sri Shivananda Sen, Sri Satyaraj Khan, and Sri Advaita Prabhu were all grihasthas and have shown us the way of faultless living, right? Because in each one of them it shows different things that they deal with. Like Advaitacharya, how to take care of guests, meaning feeding them and like that. Cooking, how, like the standard of you cook, and when you finish cooking, your kitchen's also clean. That's set by him, you know, that, you know, nice volumes, it's all done accordingly, and he's, you know, everybody's served very nicely and everything, and that, you know, he doesn't get too upset, you know, like that. So all those things, he is setting the standard there. Shivananda, how he would take care of dependents and everything, even his dog, you know, it means they're going to Puri, and a dog comes along. It's not that it was his dog. It was called Shivananda because then, since the dog joined the party, then he takes care of it. So he was worried about it, you know, just because it was part of the party. But he would take care of all the devotees going from Mayapur to Puri, like that. You know, so like this, all the different devotees, you know, Srivas Pandit, how he's absorbed in kirtan, you know, only trying to please. So each one has their... So from studying all of these, one can therefore get all the aspects and be inspired by how they worship the Lord from their position as grihastha. Right? And that's ashram. Like that. Now, if one can also follow brahminical lifestyle, but not all of them were also on the brahminical occupation. But the point is that then the occupation then, you know, is seen in that it gives the money for the ashram. The difference between a householder and a renunciate is due to their different means of livelihood. That's what makes the difference. One has an occupation and one only performs the duties of ashram, and by that is maintained, like the Brahmin, right? If the home is favorable for a devotee's devotional service, then he should not leave. Right? It means if everything is favorable, everybody's supportive, then you don't need to leave. Right? Because then from grihastha, they'll just turn into vanaprastha. And it just means that there, as a grihastha, there's so many different things. There are things that are you know, how you say, not necessarily direct, but vanaprastha just becomes more and more direct. So then there's no problem. It is a duty to remain a grihastha with detachment. But when the home becomes unfavorable for his service, he then becomes eligible to leave home. Right? In other words, if the home's not favorable, then there's no need to be there. Right? Is that what you said? But if the home is favorable, then favorable means it's favorable for devotional service. Just thinking. This particular last few sentences would be extremely popular in Israel. Nobody leaves the home. It also works in Gujarat. Right? Nobody leaves the home. Right? Right. Think about it. Do you know any Gujarati brahmacharis? No, you just don't find them. Right? You can find them from all other states, but not from Gujarat. You know, somehow or another, I don't know, because they are all Radha Krishna worshippers, everything. So there's really no difference. And so you just don't see. Yeah, no Israeli Brahmacharya. It just doesn't happen. You know, and also the Druids also, you know.
Srila Prabhupada was talking about that in the class. He was saying, I can't get any of these Indians to give their kids. Yeah. Therefore, I like these hippies. They have the renouncing spirit.
Yeah, they have renouncing spirit. They renounce everything. Even, you know, hygiene and, you know, intelligent endeavor, you know, everything. I remember once he was in the Willenbach, the farm, and then they asked me to speak to some of the kids, right? You know, so they're all, you know, small, but a lot of them are like, you know, teenagers and like that. And so then, you know, I don't know, so any questions? So one of the first questions is, one of the kids starts giggling. He said, were you a hippie before you joined? And then all the other kids like crack up laughing, you know, because to them, hippies are the funniest things they've ever seen, you know, like that. Because you see them sometimes on the Gold Coast and like that. So they just think they're hilarious, you know.
Gutter sheep.
Huh?
Gutter sheep.
Gutter sheep, yeah, like that, you know. Yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.